Last week we talked about our practices. Talked about just working out our salvation with fear and trembling. All of us need practices. We need habits. We need patterns of living. You know, we need rituals that express and train us just in our faith. All of us need to be on guard against just accepting or adopting the practices of life that the world would suggest and the world would recommend. Because the world will suggest practices that simply conform each of us to the world. So we have to be on guard about just accepting what the world says you should do in your practices and your habits and the living of your life. Today we want to explore something that we need to have on the inside. Last week was those external practices, those habits, those patterns, all the stuff that you'd say and do. Today I want to explore something that we need to have on the inside, something that's part of the engine, part of the source for those practices occurring on the outside. So here's what we're after. Just a verse out of Colossians. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. It's an exhortation that goes to the whole body. It's an exhortation for something to be in our hearts. It's an exhortation for something to be on the inside of each one of us. For something to be there, right there in your innermost being. That part of you that can only be seen by God. You can't see what's in my heart. I can't see what's in your heart. God can. But it's an exhortation to have something in that innermost being that nobody can see but God. Though for all of us, what's in our heart gets demonstrated. Gets demonstrated before everybody. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the words that you say demonstrate the content of your heart. Out of the heart are the issues of life. So your handling and dealing with all the issues bears testimony to what's in your heart. But it's an exhortation here to have something on the inside of you, that central core of you. And it wants that something that's in your heart to rule. The word that's translated rule does not have an emphasis in rule in the sense of being king or being lord. It doesn't have those overtones of kind of like sovereignty, of ruling over, of lording over it. This isn't a word to be kinging it or lording it. There are those words. This isn't it. This isn't so much a president word. It's more of a manager or director word. It means literally to award prizes. That's what the word literally means. It's the only time in the New Testament it occurs here. It means literally to award prizes. It's a word about calling the shots, about what calls the shots in your life, what manages, what directs the shots. So we're talking about something that's supposed to be in your heart that just gives the nod to certain things. You're kind of like, go ahead. Green lights some things. We're talking about something in your heart that can give the thumbs up or the thumbs down. Other things, some things get the prize. Other things, they don't get the prize. You'll have to wait. I'm sorry, I see that hand, but not right now. No prize for you. Other things get the prize. So it's this thing that just manages and directs. It calls the shots in our life. So we're supposed to have something in our hearts, in our innermost being. And that thing that's there is supposed to call the shots. Supposed to direct traffic in our life, supposed to determine outcomes. The thing that's supposed to be in our hearts and then call the shots, the thing is the peace of Christ. So the exhortation is simply to have the peace of Christ in our hearts and then let its presence there call the shots. So I just want us to think about the peace of Christ in our hearts, calling the shots. So, of course, you might start off with, well, where do I get the peace? How does it get into your heart in the first place? I think the answer to where you get it, how you get the peace in your heart in the first place, is pretty straightforward. The answer is Jesus gives it. He doesn't just wish it to you. He gives it to you. In the Gospel of John, we are told that Jesus gives his peace to his disciples before he leaves them. This verse out of John 14. It's the final discourse between Jesus and Gethsemane happening in the upper room. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. So he says he gives peace, gives his peace to his own before he leaves. He says he gives peace in a different way than the world gives peace. That's a very intriguing statement. Certainly Jesus gives this to his disciples at a time that's not very peaceful. Gethsemane is only moments away. Peter's going to deny him. There's going to be the whole trial thing. All the disciples are going to forsake him. Jesus is going to be betrayed. He's going to be crucified. He's going to be buried. So it's not a very peaceful time for Jesus, the one who's giving peace. It's not a very peaceful time for the disciples who are receiving his peace. In many ways, it seems like a time more appropriate to talk about how to handle difficulty. I mean, that's what they're all in the midst of. It'd be an appropriate time to talk about dealing with disappointment. You know, all the things that they thought were going to happen with Jesus. So let's talk about how you deal with disappointment. Let's talk about how not to be overcome by stress. Because it'd be a very stressful weekend coming up in front of us. What to do with anxiety. Peace doesn't seem to be too related to the present circumstance. But I want you to notice that Jesus gives his peace before all of the difficulty, before all of the sad, before all the painful things. He gives it before all those things happen. So Jesus' giving is very different than the way the world gives peace. Jesus is giving peace before the happenings. That's very different than how the world gives. We usually see peace as an outcome of happenings, don't we? If things go well, then we will get peace. If some things change, then finally we'll get some peace and quiet. But things have to change in order to get the peace and the quiet. I hope we get some peace soon. Again, that's dependent on the circumstances, and the circumstances, the happenings have to go a certain way, and then we'll get peace. Peace is something that usually needs to be made. We make peace. Peacemakers cause things to happen that bring peace to a situation or to a relationship. The normal course in the world is that you have to do a good job of calling the shots in order to get peace. If you do a good job of calling the shots, then you can get some peace out of it. But Jesus gives peace beforehand. He wants us to approach what's coming, what's going to happen, with peace in hand, or more literally, peace in heart. He's going to want us to give it before it happens, and he wants you to have that peace in your heart as you encounter whatever it is that's going to happen. And then he wants that peace that's there to call the shots. He wants the peace that's present to determine the results and the response. You know, we usually think the results determine whether there's peace or not. But here, Jesus wants peace to be present and call the shots, determine the response, determine the results. So how can peace in my heart call the shots for whatever's coming next, for whatever is going to come to you this week? How can peace in your heart call the shots, rule, for what's coming next week, for you, for me? I mean, you might get very bad news. You might have very difficult things happen. You might not have peaceful things happen to you or to loved ones. You might encounter somebody who not only not a peacemaker, but as a peace destroyer. Have any like that in your family? The peace wreckers. They're the disruptors of the peace. They're the disturbers of the peace. We tend to see this coming week, well, if it goes well, then we can get some peace. But if it doesn't go well, then we're not going to have peace. We'll have to wait and see. Because peace is the outcome of all the circumstances and the happenings. So how can we have a peace in our heart that calls the shots for whatever's coming in the coming week? Now, what is this peace that Christ is giving before stuff happens? Peace, of course, is a big word. It's that great Hebrew word, shalom. It's almost hard to define because it is so big. It's just a complete and comprehensive well-being as far as you can see in every area and dimension of life. We get inklings, of course, of the significance and the greatness by its references in Scripture. Peace is central in the blessing that's given by the high priest and by the priest, by the order of Aaron, the Levitical priest. We use it almost every week. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you shalom. Give you peace. The great city, Jerusalem, means literally city of peace. You see the shalom right there in the word. Angels over the field in Bethlehem, announcing to some shepherds watching their sheep that a Savior has been born to them, joined by a heavenly host, saying, peace on earth. So it's a pretty big word, pretty far-reaching. And again, it's just this complete and comprehensive well-being. All is well. So it's a multifaceted, many-layered, far-reaching, complete and comprehensive type of thing. We could spend many hours exploring its treasures, its benefits. But it's exactly that full, complete, comprehensive nature of peace that I want to highlight. When Jesus gives us his peace, I think he wants us to know that he has it all covered. That's what he wants us to hear when he gives it. I got it all of it covered. He is saying to us, if you're with me, all is going to be well. If you were to ask him at that moment, well, what about this? What about that? He would come back, I got that covered. I got that covered. I got that relationship covered. Kind of like I took that into account. Jesus is indeed saying when he gives us his peace, he's got it all covered. Jesus is saying to us, I'm going to cause all things, I mean absolutely everything, to work together for good. That's what he's saying. He's saying, it's my peace. I'm giving it to you. The peace of Christ is not a tiny island of peace in a great sea of turmoil and difficulty. It's the other way around. The turmoil and the difficulty is the tiny island. The great sea encompassing everything is the peace of Christ. I think that's what he's saying. It's what he's saying to the disciples. But my focus today is not on exploring the nature and the dimensions of peace, the greatness of it, the reach of it, the scope of it. My focus I want today to be on letting that peace rule, call the shots in our hearts. Letting that peace, letting that promise of Christ, I got it all covered, to let that call the shots for life and living in relationships and happenings. Other things, of course, can, and perhaps for us often, too often do, call the shots for us. Cares and worries of life can call the shots. Cares and worries of life can rule our hearts. There are many people to understand their life and living. All you need to know is their current worries and cares. Because as soon as you know their current worries and cares, that gets a full explanation for how they're living life. They got these worries and cares. Worries and cares rule them. Troubles and sorrows can rule our hearts. The world can be a very sad place. The statistics for death, even with all the medical happenings and the progress and the scientific promises, hover right around 100%. The world can be a very sad place. The world can be a very difficult place. In the world, we have tribulation. That tribulation can cause our hearts to be troubled. And then the trouble and the sorrow can rule our heart, can call the shots. Fear, of course, can grip our heart, start calling the shots. There are many dangers, many threats, many enemies. The waves and the winds, the storms of life can be formidable. They can be scary. And the fear of those things can grip our heart, start calling the shots. And of course, it could go on about the things that pleasure, the love of pleasure, can rule our heart. But Jesus says to us, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. Don't let it be overcome by the worries and cares of life. I give you my peace. What you find in me will cover everything. That's what I'm giving you. I will make the story beautiful, satisfying, and complete. Most of us probably want to respond, but Lord, in the world this week, I'm going to get tribulation. I got to meet with my brother, and he's such a jerk. He's a disruptor of my peace. Every time I leave my brother, I'm all tied up in knots. And I got to meet with him this week. I'm going to get tribulation this week in the world. The Lord says to us, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Let my peace call the shots. Here's one of the great secrets, I think, of Christian living. You can be a person who encounters the daily worries and cares of life. You struggle with them, you deal with them, but it's the peace of Christ that rules your heart. You can be a person that encounters the sorrows and the losses of earth. They can be very sorrowful. They can cause a great deal of trouble. You can be a person who encounters those things and the tears flow. But it's the peace of Christ that calls the shots in your heart. You can be a person who encounters long-term disappointment or some things in life have never gone the way that you wanted to. You maybe ended up living in California and didn't want to. Lots of other cool places to live. You wanted your life to go this path and it didn't happen. You wanted this to be your career or things of family or marriage and family. Just long-term disappointment or perhaps momentary crisis. Some big happening that's very large right at the moment. You can be a person who encounters those long-term things, those momentary things, and yet they don't call the shots. It's the peace of Christ in your heart that calls the shots. That promise from Christ, like, I got it covered. And I'm going to make the story beautiful. And I'm going to make it good. Peace ruling a heart does not make a person exempt from the happenings of life. Peace ruling in our heart does not make us oblivious to the happenings of life. It's just that as we encounter all those things that belong to earthly life, as we walk through those things, as we experience all the things that belong to an earthly pilgrimage, that the peace of Christ calls the shots. That's what the exhortation is. That what Christ has done, what he is doing, what he will do determines the outcome, you know, directs the traffic of our heart and of our life. So I just want to encourage, just very simple, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Call the shots. It's got to be inside. when you walk through the door, we can't see it. God can, but we can't. Something inside of you. Something that Jesus just gave to you. Gave to you before all the happenings. It's not the result of the happenings. He gave it to you before all the happenings. And he's saying, whatever happens, and everything that happens, I got it covered. Taking that into account. And the outcome of the story isn't going to be ugly, or sad, or broken, or disappointing. I'm going to work everything together for good. I have got it covered. I'm giving it to you. Let that call the shots for whatever happens this week. Cloud 9 or the valley of the shadow of death. I want to close just with this. A year, maybe 2 years ago, I read a story of Eugene Peterson being quoted on stage by a rock star. I kind of like Eugene Peterson, so I followed up the story a little bit. The rock star was a guy named Bono. I don't know if that's his real name or not. It seems like you should have a first name. I don't know if it's his first name or last name. But his name is Bono, okay? And the band is U2. I'm pretty much ignorant about bands and such, but I do have Google. So I looked up about Bono in U2. Wondering if I'd ever heard or would recognize any of their songs. I found this song that U2 had done. The title of the song is "I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For." The song talks about how, after having done many things in life, you still haven't found what you're looking for. It talks about how you scaled the mountains, hiked the highest mountains, forded the streams, you did the nature thing. You've done city life. The nightlife in the city, you've done that. You've pursued the passions and the delights of romance. You felt all the heat of it and the passion and the delight of it. You've been really good at times. You've done really bad. You've been the angel and you've been the devil. You've done those things in life. In the song, there's even stuff about, I believe the kingdom is coming. I've received forgiveness. I've known released from bondage. But then throughout the song, you keep getting this chorus as all this thing is cataloged of all these experiences and happenings in life, but I still haven't found what I'm looking for. So I listened to the song. I rather like it, actually. It bears testimony to just the partialness, to the finitude, to the temporariness, the temporalness of all earthly life. That earthly life never yields fullness, never yields perfection, never yields completeness. So I can identify with the sentiments in the song, but I ask myself, would I too say, I still haven't found what I'm looking for? Would I sing that too as a chorus to my own life? My answer to that is I would not say, I still haven't found what I'm looking for, because I have found what I'm looking for. Of course, my current knowing of it, my experience of it is partial, is limited, is incomplete. And I long to know it fully. I long to know it perfectly. I long to know it without partialness. I see it, but my seeing is through a mirror, darkly. You know, I see it only as a reflection in a mirror. Oh, and the mirror is dark. But I found it. So if the song, "I Still Haven't Found It," means I do not yet know it in all its fullness, in all its completeness, then yes, I agree. Still haven't found it. But if it means I have not yet found the great pearl, if it means I haven't yet found the one thing that's needed, if it means I haven't found the thing that's rightfully called the answer, if it means that, then I have found it. And my answer is, yes, I have found what I'm looking for, because I have found the pearl of great price. I have found the one thing that's needed. I have found the thing that is going to determine the outcome of all the universe and what the universe is about. I know what that is. I don't see it perfectly. I may completely misunderstand my own role and part and function in it. But I found it. Jesus is what I was looking for. And I found him. And I believe that in Jesus and through Jesus, everything is going to be set right. And I mean everything. I don't just hurt for things that happen in my own life or people close to me. I watch other people. Linda's news. New grandkid, you got lung cancer. I mean, that's hard, isn't it? It's how life is sometimes. How can you do that? I'll share this since they're not here. Daniel and Kimmy, they got a new second dog. This was the most obnoxious, fun-loving dog you've ever seen. I mean, in its short life, because he got killed. In its short life, I never saw it run in a straight line because he was just so happy to be alive. He was just so great to just do anything that he'd run all crooked just anywhere because it was just so cool to be alive. I never saw him run in a straight line. And then he jumped out of the car window, got hit by a car and killed, you know, almost instantly. Kimmy and Daniel are heartbroken. And I know it's just a dog. Lord, you created such a cool puppy. You know, why don't you let it live a little bit longer? You know, how can that work out for good? There's a lot weightier things than the puppy getting killed. And I watch things happen to people. Pains your heart. It's heartbreaking. But I believe that Jesus is going to put the story together and make everything right. For me, for you, for everyone. It's the end of the story that's being weaved by the Son of God, is a magnificent, beautiful story. He is our peace. As far right as you can go, as far left as you can go, as high as you can go, as deep as you gotta go, you got it all covered, and all is going to be well. And I found him. He was what I was looking for. He gives to us that peace. He gives it to us in front of all the happenings that will come our way. I want that peace to be in your heart. In your innermost being, want that peace to call the shots. You know, whatever happens this week, let the peace call the shots. Let it rule in your heart. I want it to rule in mine. As far as how I respond, all the things that I do and say in life.